Now here's the sermon today. The faith that saves. There is a saving faith. The Scripture says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wish that I could impress upon all of my hearers the importance of faith. The Scriptures continually emphasize the fact that salvation is by the grace of God through faith. Now, this is emphasized again and again and again, that salvation is by grace. It's the gift of God, but it's through faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and must believe that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, and we are so familiar with this scripture. Maybe we're too familiar with some scriptures. Maybe we just read over them carelessly and lightly, and we're not paying any attention to what God's saying. For by grace, and grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor, for by grace are you saved through faith, not without faith, but through faith. And that not of yourselves, that faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And four times in Habakkuk, the book of Romans, in Galatians, four times in the Scriptures, this is stated, the just shall live by faith. The justified shall live by faith. And Mark 16:16, when our Lord sent his disciples out to preach the gospel, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Peter, when he was talking to our Lord before the Master went to the cross, he said, Lord, I'll go to the death with you. I'll never deny you. Christ said, well, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. But Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. This is where it is now. Faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. By faith, Noah prepared an ark, being warned of God of things not seen. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Our Lord said this to a centurion who had a son that was possessed of evil spirits. He said, if you can believe, can you believe? If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then the Philippian jailer, he asked the Apostle Paul, said, what, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, I have this question. Since faith is emphasized so frequently in the Scripture, since we see from so many passages, and I just gave you a few, since we see from so many Scriptures the importance of faith, the necessity of faith, what is faith? What is faith? What's involved in this matter of believing God? Well, let me give you two scriptural illustrations. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12, Paul was in prison, and he was writing to young Timothy. And he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, of the testimony of Christ. That's the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed of it. And he says, Timothy, also don't be ashamed of me, the Lord's prisoner. Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote this particular epistle. And then he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed to be a partaker yourself of the sufferings that are caused by the preaching of the gospel. And then in verse 12, he said, and I suffer these things myself. I've gone to prison. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been had false witnesses bear witness against me, both in the church and out of the church. But he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And when Paul said these words, he gave us the best scriptural definition of faith to be found in the Word of God. For faith is made up of three things, and Paul deals with all three of them right here. First of all, faith is born of knowledge. Knowledge. You can't trust an unrevealed Christ. You can't believe what you haven't heard. You can't call on him in whom you haven't believed, and you can't believe in him of whom you haven't heard. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know who he is. I know who the God-man is. I know who Jesus Christ is. I know what people say about him, but I know who he is. I know he came from heaven. I know why he came to this earth. He came down here to die on a cross and to perfectly fulfill the law, to give to us a righteousness which God requires and which we absolutely must have, which we can't produce. He died for our sin. I know why he came to this earth. I know what he did. I know where he is now. Having purged our sins, he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. Now note this. He didn't say in this definition of faith, I know when I believed. That's not really important. He didn't say, I know what a system of doctrine or a creed. He said, I know whom. Christ is our creed. You see, you don't arrive at Christ through doctrine. You arrive at doctrine through Christ. You find out who the teacher is, and then you learn what he has to say. So I know whom I have believed. That's the first thing that must be settled in this matter of faith. The object of faith. And that's Christ. And then secondly, he said, the second word is persuaded or confidence. I am confident, I am persuaded that he's able to keep. He is able. He is able. You see, if I were greatly in debt, say I owed $1 million, and a man came to me and he said, Brother Mann, he said, I know you owe all this money, and I'm going to pay off every bill you have. Well, now, whether or not I rejoice and whether or not I believe that depends on two things, totally on two things. Number one, the man's willingness to do it. Secondly, his ability to do it. Now, if some of you would come to me and say, how much you owe? Oh, $500,000. Well, I'll pay it off. I just laugh. Because you might be willing, but you're not able. But now if a man is both willing and able, now I can find some joy in that. And Christ is able. He's the only one who's able to do all that he promised. The Bible says that. He's able to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. He's able to raise our vile bodies. He's able. Christ is able because of who he is, because of what he did, and where he is now. He's in the throne room. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's what Paul's saying. Here's my definition of faith. I know whom I have believed. I don't believe in a church. I believe in Christ. I don't believe in myself. I believe in Christ. I don't believe in a preacher or a priest. I believe in Christ. I don't believe in a system. I believe in Christ. He is my advocate. And I know him, and I know he's able. Now watch it. Faith, thirdly, is committal. I know, I'm confident, persuaded, he's able to keep that which I've thought about, given to him. No, which I've committed to him. I've committed it to Christ. I've cast it all on Him. I've submitted to Him. I've received Him as my Lord and Savior. I've cast myself, soul and body, on Jesus Christ the Lord. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day of judgment, that day of restitution of all things, that day when God will judge the world by that man, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. Here's another definition of faith. This is found over in Hebrews 11:1. This is one that about everybody quotes, but not too many folks understand it. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now listen, now faith is, that ought to get our attention, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? What? Justification, forgiveness of sin, acceptance with God, that's what I'm hoping for, eternal life. I hope for the resurrection. I hope to be like Christ. Well, now, faith is the substance. What does the word substance mean? The word substance means ground, basis. It means the ground. The word substance means the support. So faith is the support and the ground of things hoped for. And that's the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is our substance and our ground and our support for faith. David said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. That's why I speak, because I believe the Word of God. You see, a promise of God is as good as an act of God. If God promises something in His Word, it's good as done. That's our support. That's our ground. That's our basis. We hope for justification. Why? Because God said that we're justified by faith. We hope for the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because God says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins through His blood. What God promises, He'll do. And faith is the ground support of those things hoped for. Faith in the Word of God. Faith believes the Word of God. The Word, not just some preacher, believes the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration. I read this not long ago. Now listen to me. Faith is not in a preacher. It's not in a system. It's not in a feeling. It's in Christ and the Word of God. What God says in His Word. There's a couple by the name of Parker. I know their first name. I'll not bother to give it. But this couple, Mr. and Miss Parker, went to church to a revival meeting with their 11-year-old son, Wesley. 11 years old. Now, Wesley was a diabetic. And Wesley was kept alive by, like thousands of other people, by insulin. And they went to a revival meeting, big-time Holy Ghost meeting, it was advertised. And at the climax of the service, the visiting evangelist invited people to come down to the front to be healed. This is a true story. Well, the Parkers went forward and took their 11-year-old diabetic son, Wesley, for the preacher to lay hands on him and heal him. And the visiting evangelist laid hands on Wesley and pronounced him healed. The preacher said, he's healed. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Wesley went home rejoicing. See, the Parkers were sincere people. They were not hypocrites. They believed the preacher. The preacher said Wesley was healed, so they didn't give Wesley any insulin anymore. Well, in 3 days, he died. Maybe his parents were simple folks, but they listened to the wrong voice. They listened to a preacher instead of listening to God, instead of listening to the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't promise that everybody I lay hands on is going to be healed. The Word of God doesn't promise that God's going to heal everybody. Somebody's got to die. God does heal. All healing is of God. And you know how the pastor summed this thing up, the pastor of that church? He said this. He said, I never meant to encourage people to gamble that much on faith. Brethren, true faith's not a gamble. True faith in the Word of God is a sure thing, in the Word of God. You've got to believe what God says, though. Let the Word of God be your testimony, not what some man says. If you follow me in, yes, it's a gamble. It's worse than a gamble if you follow me in. It's fatal. But not if you follow God's Word. You see, faith is the substance. You ask me to give you an answer for the reason of the hope that's in me. And I'll tell you that reason is God's Word. He has said that mercy and grace and love and forgiveness is in Christ. And I believe that. I believe God's Word. Whatever my lot, whatever my circumstances, whatever my environment, whatever God calls me to endure or to go through or to do, that's all right. That's all in His good pleasure and His good purpose and will. I submit to Him. I don't have to be rich. It'd be better if I wasn't. I don't have to be the strongest and the best dressed, and I need Christ. That's what I need. Whether I'm working in a field or whether I work in an office building, whether I'm an educated person or not educated, if to know Christ is the greatest knowledge, it's the greatest wisdom. Let us learn to accept our lot, to be content with what we have, what God's given us, with thanksgiving. Don't be anxious for tomorrow, what you shall eat, drink, what you shall wear, what you shall put on. God knows you have need of these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will add these things to you as you need them. I wish we were as concerned about our souls as we are these bodies. And then faith, not only is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence. What's the word evidence? It's proof. Evidence is proof. Present your evidence. That's the proof. Faith is the evidence or proof of things not seen. I've never seen the Holy Spirit. I've never seen God. Not with these natural eyes. I've never seen a vision. I don't want to. God is revealed in His Word. God is revealed in His Word. You walk up to old Noah while he builds that ark. You say, what are you doing, Noah, building an ark? What are you building an ark for? I believe God. That's evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Noah, being warned of things not seen, moved with fear and built an ark. Abraham, why are you leaving your father's house? I believe God. That's evidence. Moses, why are you putting the blood on the door? Why are you putting blood on the door? I believe God. God said at midnight He'd pass over. I believe God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I've never seen God pass through in judgment at midnight upon a whole nation. Moses had neither, but he believed Him. I've never seen the world melt with fervent heat and the skies melt with fervent heat either. I've never seen the wrath of God fall upon a rebellious world, but I believe God. Noah did. Abraham did. Moses did. Sinner, why are you being baptized? I believe God. You see, faith stands in the place of things not seen till those things become a reality. Noah's flood became a reality. Moses' judgment became a reality. The poet wrote these words, faith, it's a precious grace wherever it's bestowed. It rests in Jesus Christ alone, and it's the gift of God. Faith owns Jesus Christ to be King, our all-atoning priest. Faith claims no merit of its own, but it looks for all to Christ. To Him, faith leads the soul when filled with deep distress. It flies to that precious fountain of blood and trusts His righteousness. That's what faith is. Faith in a person. And that faith is confident that that person is able to do all that he said and is able to keep that which we commit to him. Now, your church is not going to last. They never have. They've all fallen into shambles sooner or later. And no man is going to last, and no creed or nation's going to last. But Christ is. He's eternal. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's Emmanuel, God with. You can trust Him. You can commit everything to Him. He's unchanging and unmovable. And He's exalted. Where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? Well, it's not a product of human nature. Somebody said, faith's not a flower that blooms in the garden of the human heart. All men have not faith. Israel could not enter in because of unbelief. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Where does faith come from? Whence cometh faith? Well, let me give you that briefly. First of all, true saving faith is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. I read that to you a moment ago. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Philippians 1:29 says, unto you is given. Unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for Him. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God hath granted repentance to Israel. My friend, where you find faith, you find God at work. Listen to John 6:44. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. He that hath learned of the Father and been taught of God cometh to me. So this thing of faith is the gift of God. I assure you of that. I assure you of that. Faith is not something produced out of natural wisdom. It's the gift of God. And then secondly, true saving faith is born of the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, not seeing miracles and signs. It's hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are plenty of people who saw our Lord raise Lazarus from the dead, but who didn't believe on Him. There are plenty of people who saw Him heal the man by the pool of Bethesda who was lame for 38 years, but didn't believe on Him. There were plenty of people who saw Him give sight to the blind man and did not believe on Him. See, faith doesn't come by sight, by miracles, by astounding supernatural works. It comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Faith is a heart work. It's the gift of God. It's born of the Word of God. And it's a heart work. Now, listen to me. We're not talking about an organ here. Will you listen? When they had this heart transplant not many years ago, and now this artificial heart, a lot of religious people got upset. Oh, we couldn't put another heart in there. That's where people love. No. That organ is no more than a kidney or a lung or any other organ in the human body. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about this organ here. It's talking about the seat of affections. It's talking about the real you, the person you are, the soul. Now listen to this. So this thing of faith is a work in the seat of affections. It's a work in the soul. It's the work where you live and where you love. Now, you believe in one God? You do well. The devil believes this one God. You see, people believe in their heads what they do not believe in their hearts. People believe in their heads with their minds what they do not love in their affections. You with me? This is where most people miss the subject of faith. Right here. This is where they miss. Well, I've always believed the Bible. I've always believed Jesus Christ born, lived, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. I've always believed in one God. The devil believes everything you said. Everything you said. But he doesn't love it. He doesn't approve of it. Now listen to me. I believe some things that I do not love. I accept some things mentally that I do not accept affectionately. I know there's a devil. I don't love him, but I believe he's there. I believe Russia is a communist state. I don't love it, I don't accept it. I don't approve of it. I believe cancer kills people. Do you? You believe that? I believe that. I've watched them die. I don't love it. I don't approve of it. But mentally, I know it exists. And the same way you can believe God exists and the Bible's the Word of God and Jesus Christ lived and died on a cross, was buried and rose again and still not be saved because you don't love Him, approve of Him, submit to Him in the seat of affections. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's right. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart, not in some organ, in you, in your seat of affections, in your soul, in the real you. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. I believe Jesus Christ is very God of very God. I love it. I approve of it. I submit to it. I believe Jesus Christ lived on this earth and died for sinners. Do you? I believe He reigns in glory, and that's where I want Him to be, reigning on the throne. I believe He will return. I believe He has all preeminence. And this I approve of. This I receive. This I delight in. And like Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else. And I'm ringing your bell this morning, and you know it, and I know it, because I've been right there. I was in religion for years before I ever knew what saving faith was and who Christ is and what the gospel is. And these things I learned from a child in my head. And I knew there was a God. I knew the Bible was the Word of God. And I believed in my head that Jesus died on the cross. But I never did in my seat of affections and heart love Him, embrace Him, approve of Him, and submit to Him. And that's saving faith. Now, if you want this tape on saving faith, what is true faith? The faith that saves. And the one I brought last week on the offense of the cross. You write to me. They'll give you the address. Send $2. That's what it costs us to prepare these tapes and mail them to you. And we'll get it out as quickly as possible. Just let me know you want to take message preached this morning on faith. So until next week, God bless you, everyone.